Burkett stays on up in front of Newton and takes a shotgun snap. He's in the pocket. He's hitting. He fires down low. Open. Edelman at the five. Makes the catch. Tackled by Adams inside the one.
Edelman's hurt.
And Julian Edelman.
Get up.
Is back on his feet.
What a catch
by
Edelman.
After another terrific catch against Jamal Adams.
I mean, it's a hell of a throw by Newton.
Cam Newton with a 33-yard pass to Julian Edelman. It's our Bay Coast Bank catch recap. Bay Coast Bank and N'Keal Harry have teamed up again for Catches for College to create college scholarships for youth in their community. New England's offense had 30 catches tonight, so Bay Coast Bank donating $50 for every catch. That's $1,500. And they've donated $2,750 so far this season. Bay Coast Bank, do what's just right. Julian Edelman also set a single-game career high in receiving yards with Cam Newton tonight, 179 in one game. Never happened in all those years with Tom Brady. What do you make of that, Joe?
I just asked you that off the air, actually. I'm glad we're discussing this. He's playing outside. He's actually – so, all right, if one play – 30 seconds left in the game if you're watching on the final drive or you heard the highlights. There's a catch to the outside to Julian Edelman. Bobby Wagner makes an amazing tackle. He can either get out of bounds and stop the clock, or he can spin off of him and actually score the touchdown. Bobby Wagner made the play of the game today. Not even being discussed, but yep, outside, another great play from Julian Edelman.
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joins us here now on the Shaw's Patriots post game. Greg, it was obviously a great night for Julian Edelman. I think a great night overall for Cam Newton, but he stopped in that final play in the backfield. So who is most to blame for that final play?
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. I've heard Joe complaining about it the whole time. I wonder how much money he had riding on this game because he's a little bitter.
Spread tonight, just so you know. Four and a half.
So, look, when it doesn't work, everybody's going to second guess it. And they said they should have done this. They should have done that. You know, I come from the school of I don't care if you from the 1 yard line with 1 yard. I don't care if you tell the defense ahead of time what you're going to do. You should be able to block it up. And especially when you have seven offensive linemen on the field against, I think the Seahawks had five defensive linemen on the field. That's the whole point of that package. And, you know, the big missed block was on Wenyu. If he makes his block, Cam probably walks in for a touchdown. He finds a way to fight through. On Wenyu, for some reason, sort of went inside at the snap, let 91 get on his outside shoulder. And that sort of blew up the entire play. I do agree with Cam that I do think he had a chance to bounce it outside. Jakob Johnson wasn't great on the play. He allowed the defensive back to get under him and submarine him a little bit. That's that player's job, and Jakob has to be ready for that, and his pad level has to be ready for that. But I think that the play had a chance to be successful. And I think the other thing that I'm not going to go crazy about this. I know Patriots fans, they hate when they lose. They should. And there's no moral victories and all that stuff. But look, this is week two with an entirely new offense. We have no idea what's going on in practice. We have no idea what they're good at. I don't even know how many goal line situations they've practiced, you know, really as far as a team with Cam. They have no idea right now what they're capable of. What are their – I bet you they're – their options are very limited on the goal line at this point. And so I'm not going to really rip anybody. I just thought the Patriots did not execute. The Seahawks beat them on that play. That's the way football goes sometimes.
Hey, Greg, I asked Jim the question, if we flipped it and Tom Brady was still here and you were on that 1 yard line, what play do they call with Brady?
They're not sneaking it. No way.
Why? Why not though?
Because
the
other team would have been ready for
shotgun there. Why?
Why do you go in shotgun? Because you have Cam Newton and you want to give him a running start. It's a power play. He's basically a running back. That whole package weighs on average 296 pounds per man. You're out there to blow those guys off the ball, and the Patriots just didn't do it. They completely outweigh them. At some point, I'll probably go through it. They had three defensive backs on the field too. And there's no way – I don't think the Patriots go with a sneak there. It's not on – it's a good 1 yard, I think, looking at the replay right now. Plus, you know, the Seahawks know that Tom Brady, they probably would add somebody jumping over the top as well. You know, I'm okay with the play call. I just think the Patriots just didn't execute.
What else stood out to you offensively tonight? What do you think of Cam Newton throwing the ball?
I thought it looked really good. I mean, I do want to caution things because I just don't think that Seahawks defense right now is all that good.
They're brutal on third down.
They get no pressure at all. The secondary is pretty soft. They occasionally play man, and they tried to exploit the Patriots a little bit that way. But mostly, I mean, look, the Falcons had over 500 yards the week before. The Seahawks will give you the underneath stuff. They will allow you that. They sort of are bend and don't break defense right now. But certainly, I thought it was a step forward for the passing offense. I think I was just going through the stats. I think that Cam Newton in the second half, because he was just, let's see, he was just a 7 for 11 for 85 yards in the first half. In the third quarter alone, he was 11 of 16 for 161 yards. He was 23 of 33 for 312 in the second half. So, you know, at least we know that they're capable of it. They looked a lot more explosive than we've seen to this point. So I think that's good. And again, it's only week two with all these guys. I mean, it's going to take time. I know people don't have a lot of patience around here, but it's going to take time. And this was a very good second step for them.
Yeah, I was encouraged by him tonight overall, Greg. And I think there's a lot to be encouraged with Cam Newton going forward. Defense, I thought, took a step back. I want to get more into that and your thoughts, especially on the secondary and how they look tonight in the loss to the Seattle Seahawks. 35-30 was the final. More with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal coming up here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame. Big Y World Class Market. They're doing good in your community, and we want to hear about those doing good for others. Teachers, parents, coaches, and friends, visit the 98.5 The Sports Hub contest page. We're going to be awarding up to $250 in groceries weekly. It's more than food. It's about community. It's my Big Y. Again, more with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal coming up next here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame. Here in the Safety Insurance, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.
Play clock is down at 5. Newton takes the snap. Fakes to Brickett. Fires down the middle for Harry. Makes the catch and absorbs a hit. And then two flags fall as he falls to the turf for the first down grab.
Get up, kid.
As you had Quandre Diggs, the former Lion, bearing down on N'Keal Harry, likely to draw a personal foul.
Yep. N'Keal Harry earned his stripes on that catch. 4th and 3 at Seattle 30. N'Keal Harry picking up the first down. New England converted 29 first downs tonight. That's another $2,900 donated by Credit Union's Kids at Heart to the Team Jack Foundation to fight pediatric brain cancer and help researchers one day find a cure. More at creditunionskidsatheart.org. That's creditunionskidsatheart.org. 35-30, the final. Seahawks over the Patriots tonight. This is the Shaw's Patriots postgame with Jim Murray and Joe Murray, joined by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal at bostonsportsjournal.com. What do you make of N'Keal Harry's night there, Greg? I thought that, again, I felt like he earned his stripes with that. He hung on to that. Quentin Dunbar gets thrown out of the game. Felt like a dirty hit. I've been on him in terms of, like, I guess a little bit of softness, but he still kind of bugged me tonight because he doesn't use his body to bowl guys over like you see DK Metcalf do. Like, DK Metcalf, I think, gave Stephon Gilmore some fits tonight, and it's just frustrating to see because they have the same kind of body type, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they should be very similar players. You see DK Metcalf catch a slant against Stephon Gilmore and get a good chunk of yards. You also see him, you know, dust Stephon Gilmore, the best cornerback in the league, for a touchdown where Gilmore, you know, even tried to interfere with him, and he was still strong enough to fight through that and catch it for the touchdown. And look, N'Keal took a step forward for him. That's good. I mean, he is only 10 games into his NFL career. But against Metcalf, he looks like a different player. He looks like Metcalf looks like an NFL boundary receiver. Harry looks like a guy that's still feeling himself. Some of it probably has to do with going from Brady to now Newton. So there's a bit of a change in the offense, and it's been consistent for Metcalf for two seasons. But I thought Harry was good. That catch was incredible. He showed toughness. He had a couple other nice plays. There were some others where you know, he's taken down by contact, where you'd like to see him be a little bit more physical, because that's supposed to be his game and what we saw at Arizona State. But you can't say this was anything other than a step forward. You just need to start seeing some exponential growth, and hopefully we start to see that.
The Patriots ran for over 200 yards against Miami. Not the story tonight. 67 yards, 47 from Cam Newton. Was that part of the game plan, or they just found out early they couldn't run?
I think they found out early they couldn't run. I mean, I think they probably wanted to. It was interesting, some of the things they chose not to do. I thought we didn't see the as many power runs as we did against Miami, which I thought that would be the case, because Seattle's faster and those plays take a while. I thought we'd see more wham plays and things like that. But again, I think it goes a lot of this stuff offensively in terms of what they're doing and not doing. I think comes to down to getting things repped up to where Josh McDaniels feels confidence in calling them. I think we saw them. I think there were at least three or four screens. I thought they all worked well. I thought that we would see more of those. I thought we would see 6 to 8 in this game, and we didn't. I just don't think they had that many that they feel confident in. I don't think they have a goal line package that they feel confident in beyond what they did with that humongous package down on the goal line. So, yeah, I think Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead combined for 21 yards on 13 carries. That's just not good enough, and it plays into the Seahawks' hands where they don't really need to worry about the running game, and it needs to be better. It can't – everything just can't be Cam Newton. It just can't happen that way.
I know we're only 2 weeks in, but I really feel like, you know, on the defensive side of things, Greg, we really finally felt the impact of the loss of Dante Hightower with that opt-out. Joe brought it up. Like, there's times tonight it looked like Juwan Bentley looked lost, especially in coverage.
Yeah, it's a problem, and this is going to be – this film is going to be dissected by other people, and what I notice, I want to go through it, look at it a little bit more carefully. But this seems to be very similar to a few years ago when the Patriots were really slow at linebacker, and it had such a trickle-down effect that the Patriots couldn't play as much man coverage as they wanted to, because when you can't just play man coverage with your cornerbacks and not play man coverage with your linebackers. And I think that's the reason why we've seen so many defensive backs on the field. It's not because, you know, they think Kyle Duggar or Adrian Phillips are the greatest safeties ever. It's because they don't have enough quickness otherwise. I mean, Juwan Bentley's slow enough as it is. You put Brandon Copeland out there, he's slow. Anthony Jennings, I didn't see him on the field tonight. Uche was inactive again. That's an issue. Right now, they're defending teams almost like when the Patriots played the Chargers in the playoffs a couple years ago, when the Chargers came in and basically had one linebacker. Right now, the Patriots have one linebacker. So if you can be physical up front, and Seattle's line isn't even that good, you can push the Patriots around, and then that makes it even tougher you know, to cover in the back end when you have to think about the rush and the pass. And so right now it's a little bit of a mess defensively, and they need to figure some things out, including what they're going to do at linebacker, because right now they're just really, really slow, and more teams are gonna address that weakness.
Greg, one other thing I thought that was a mess tonight was special teams. Not so much Nick Folk missing a field goal, which, of course, he's done now back-to-back weeks, but the great field position all night for Seattle. I remember Gostkowski used to just kick it out, right? Just do touchbacks. Is this something that Folk can do? And is he possibly on the hot seat of getting cut?
So you're talking about you didn't think the field position after kickoffs was good enough?
I thought all night long that Seattle had great field position.
Well, it's Bailey. I mean, Bailey's the kickoff.
Oh, sorry.
Guy.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And so he's been doing
would they go the other way on that one, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah. Like, maybe the Patriots saw something in the film and they wanted the Seahawks to take it out. Maybe that worked against them a little bit. I'm looking at the Patriots' average field position was the New England 18. That's not good. And Seattle's was the 31. So, yeah, that's an issue. I'm sure Belichick's going to address it. It was probably a game plan thing, and maybe they weren't great in coverage, but the field position cannot get out of whack like that.
That post-game press conference, and look, we all know he can be prickly, and he personally has had a difficult week in losing his mom and this news with James White tonight. Like, I can maybe understand why he was a little bit prickly. But I got the impression, and I want to know if you feel the same way, Greg, that he really wanted this one tonight, and he was a little bit miffed that it went sideways.
Jim, that's a valid point. I hadn't really thought about it. Well,
when he sat there all quiet after he was asked about the timeout that they possibly could have taken and all that the 25 seconds rolled off, you know, leading up to that Cam Newton play getting blown up, you know, the final play of the game, I just felt like that's where he second-guessed that. Maybe I should have called that, and they have four cracks at the end zone rather than the two.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I just think that the post-game Zoom post-game Bill didn't seem all that different than in-person Bill. He hates to lose. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure he doesn't like to lose to the Seahawks. And Bill also doesn't like to get second-guessed. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't like people second-guessing the play call on the one and also him not calling timeouts because – you know, we all think of him as the master strategist in the NFL, and he is, but sometimes he makes mistakes. For some reason, he makes a lot of mistakes in Seattle. I remember that game in, I think it was 2012?
Yeah, the Sidney Rice game, yeah.
Yeah, Sidney Rice against Tavon Wilson, and I just remember that was one of the rare times where I was at the Globe at the time, and I wrote my column basically criticizing Belichick because I remember they came out and they ran the ball with this ridiculous package when they knew they couldn't run the ball in the game and they thought they were going to ice the game. And it was a bunch of curious calls and they sort of blew that game. They had a terrible sequence right before halftime that left points on the board. So it's definitely an interesting place for the Patriots to play. I just think he hates to lose, and he doesn't love being second guessed.
Well, I said it to Joe to open the show tonight too. Doesn't it feel kind of criminal that these two teams have only faced each other four times now since that point in 2012?
Oh, no,
like they should figure out a way with the schedule makers. Like these two teams, every single time, it's like a title fight.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great. I mean, I couldn't believe how the Patriots just kept coming back and coming back. Every time you thought they got down two scores, you thought the game was over, but the Patriots just kept coming back and wouldn't give in, which you know that they would. I mean, that's just what they do in New England. They never pack it in. I was looking at a sequence in the third quarter where they were down 28-23. They got to second and two on their own like 30-something yard line, and then it stalled from there. They went backwards 6 yards. I thought that was a key stretch, and it was really – I like the play call of the slip screen to Damir Bird. It's just N'Keal Harry missed his block. Other than that, it was set up, and it could have been a big play. And then the third down sort of tossed to Rex Burkhead. That's a play where you'd like to see, and I think you will in the future, Newton will have a chance to check out of that play and maybe go to a screen to Edelman on the other side. That was a rough stretch. And that I thought sort of tipped the game because I thought at that point the Patriots finally had a chance to go down, put the pressure on the Seahawks, put them behind, make them feel the pressure, and the Patriots just couldn't get there outside of that.
We have one more segment to go with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame. We'll mix in some of your calls as well. We'll do that next, but first, check out the headlines with Joe Murray.
First and goal to go from the one. Newton joined by Johnson behind him in the backfield. Cam has rushed for a score and thrown for a score. Johnson now shifts to his left. Newton takes the snap. He runs it to the left. Cam Newton is in for the touchdown, his second of the night.
It's a big boy drive, Cam.
Respond to the Seattle score.
Hey,
they still have life out in the great Northwest.
Welcome back to the Shaw's Patriots postgame. Time for the New England 4 rushing update. Cam Newton with the one-yard touchdown there. Newton, 47 yards on 11 carries tonight. Two touchdowns in the 35-30 loss to the Seattle Seahawks. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joining us here. So, Greg, is it sustainable? It's 15 attempts for 75 yards last week, 11 carries tonight, 47 yards. Like, again, how much of this can we – it's great, and he's fun to watch, but – given the beating that he's taken over his career, when you worry about the shoulder and the Liz Frank injury that he's had in his foot, can they keep doing this with Cam Newton?
No, and they can't keep doing it with Julian either. I mean, he looks almost done in week two. I mean, he left it all out there. I will say I thought, and you've noticed this a lot in the game so far in the NFL, is that these teams that have to work really hard to come back, they're almost like spent at the end of the game. Conditioning is obviously an issue. The Patriots, we know, are well-conditioned. They do the hill and all that stuff. But even that, took a toll, and they needed a little bit more help from that defense tonight to get them a little bit more rest. But no, I mean, Cam can make it through the end of the season. You got this also with Brady, so it's not just unique with Cam. You just wonder about the accumulation, and is there an effect once we go on in the season? But they can't do it with Cam, and they can't do it with Julian either. They're going to have to become a more balanced offense, but we all knew this was going to be a work in progress. Each week they're going to have to build a little bit and put another layer on it.
Jerry in Boston, you're up here on the Shaw's Patriots post game with Greg Bedard. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, so nobody's saying he's Jerry Rice, but I'm just preemptively, do you think N'Keal Harry made some good strides, and do you think that he could be a real contributor going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, Greg, but that catch that he hung on to that led to the ejection for, was it Dunbar? I was impressed there. I expected him in the past. He would, you know, the way he got lit up on that play, and that was a dirty hit. I figured he'd drop that, and it's like, you know, we're sitting here mocking him. But I thought, you know, he earned his stripes there.
Yeah, the only thing about N'Keal, and we did see him take a step forward tonight. I don't want to deny him that at all, because the kid does have a spotlight on him, and it's deserved, and he is making progress. But you just wonder watching him. It just seems like everything is just an effort with him. Like, it's just nothing comes easy with these guys. And it's the same thing with Sony. These guys that you take in the first round, playmakers, whether it's wide receiver or running back, you're looking for something special where they're tough to defend against. And you look at DK Metcalf, who was no great shakes as a prospect. He just, you can tell he has special aspects to him where he looks a little bit like Josh Gordon in his prime out there. He's not Josh Gordon, but that similar guy where you're just like, man, that guy's a load to tackle. He's tough with the ball in the air. And you just look at N'Keal and you're just like, well, it seems like everybody kind of tackles him. And I haven't seen him make a big play yet. So that's the thing that you worry about and you want to see more of. You just want to see some explosive ability because, man, does this offense need it.
Brent in Shrewsbury on Cam Newton. You're next here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame. Go ahead, Brent.
Hey, guys. You know, like, a loss is a loss, but I think if you isolate just, like, the Cam Newton project from throwing the ball, running the ball, and even if you say that last play is not his fault, and I'm not even sure, but I'm just saying if you can make an argument for that, he almost did no wrong, right? And then even in the post game interview, I was impressed with how able he was to do like the say a bunch of crap and you're really saying nothing, like Brady did more and Belichick didn't talk as much. Like, I thought he was great at that classic thing, just kind of, you know, appeasing the reporters without saying too much about, like, I feel like he said the same answer to everyone. So on all levels, even that, I thought isolating him, not the fact that we lost, it's looking, you know, I thought I was being too optimistic. Like, I was thinking it would work, but I wasn't sure. And, like, that was better than I thought I'd see week two. So, yeah, that's all.
Thanks, Brent. And, Greg, you know how it is with your usual appearance, Big Boy Tuesdays on Felger and Mass. Fun isn't allowed, but we can talk about fun tonight here in the postgame. And if nothing else, Cam Newton is fun to watch.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I wrote that after my column after the week one game was, you know, at least for 1 week, the fun was back for the Patriots offense, where it wasn't just, you know, Mr. Mopey being the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in NFL history and not complaining about his weapons and this and that. It's just, yeah, I mean, it is fun. It's fun. It's fun to have a mobile quarterback where you never know what's going to happen. And I agree with Brent that I think that, you know, for week two, they are ahead of where I thought they'd be. Especially, we saw the passing game take a step forward this week. It would have been hard to go backwards from last week when they only had like three completions over 10 yards. But, I think that Cam's ahead of where we thought he would be. I thought we would just see mostly a ground based attack, and that the Patriots could have that sort of shut down by the Seahawks and then make an audible basically at halftime and say, you know what, we're going to throw the ball and still compete, or else we're going to be out of this game. And they were able to do that. That's really good for week two. I'm impressed. And, you know, they just got to keep building. The schedule continues to get tougher as the Raiders are not going to be a layup this coming week. And then, of course, the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills are looming very soon. So they have a lot of work to do quickly. But this is pretty good. And what you saw on film today is it's tough for these defenses. They're going to look at it and be like, well, now what the hell do we do? How do we defend this?
Yeah, Greg, I was going to ask about Vegas. We know they'll play tomorrow night, but some concerns there with Jacobs, obviously, at running back. They got the kid Ruggs. They're a battle-tested team. I'm sure they'll probably test the Patriots secondary just like Russell Wilson did tonight.
Yeah, the thing about the Raiders, and I haven't watched them last year, and I know they brought in a bunch of new people on defense, which they needed to do. It's a scheme that's pretty simple, Gunther's scheme. I don't think they'll have any trouble moving the ball. The Raiders kind of suck on defense, but that offense is a load. It's tough. If Trent Brown's back, that offensive line is arguably one of the best in the game. They are outstanding. Josh Jacobs, the running back, is just dynamic. He could do everything. He's a humongous pain in the ass. Waller, the tight end. They have some, you know, new receivers this year. It's going to be it's not a get right game for the Patriots defense next week. They're going to have to bring their A game, or else they're going to have a tough time again.
All right, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Read bostonsportsjournal.com. Give him a subscription there. Also catch his appearance on Felger and Maz, 2 to 4 every Tuesday. Talk to you then, Greg.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks very much. Greg Bedard again, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Coming up, a recap of tonight's thrilling battle, rather, of between the Patriots and Seahawks. Had too much caffeine to try to keep me awake post-game this late. Plus, a look ahead to next week's opponent. We're just talking about them, the Vegas Raiders, who are in action tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, against the New Orleans Saints as they open up Allegiant Stadium out in Las Vegas. That's next here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame of the Safety Insurance 98.5 of Sports of Patriots Radio Network.